The title of my topic tonight is dealing with bad thoughts. And I first want to say this, recognizing that you have these, and that you struggle with them is a mark of some maturity, of some spiritual interest, of some spiritual progress. But I wanted to start by just giving some classifications of thoughts, of bad thoughts. I'm just calling them bad thoughts that you might have, that people might have. I'm not asking you to give me a testimony of what you have, but just generally, what kinds of things could be bad thoughts that might pop into your mind? Classification of them. Okay. Well, that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Impatience. How do I classify that? Disunity. Is that it? Let me think about it. Political stuff and the thoughts that it raises. I don't know too much about that story, but next category, anybody? What else would you put with doubts? Other words with doubts. Okay, doubts is good. Insecurities, similar. Fears? Yeah. Yep. What else? Now you're getting warm here. Okay. Worry? Lust? What did you say? Anger? Anger? Oh, are you coming up with some that I did? Yeah. Anxiety? Fear, worry, yeah. What is worrying? Why do you define worry?
Overthinking.
That's not a problem for you, huh? Because you're retired now? Okay, so anybody else? Are there other ones? But worry. What is worry? You're overthinking. What are you overthinking?
Thinking about it all the time. You're spending too much time just with your thoughts and a big blob around whatever it is that might be going to happen. And it doesn't change the outcome whatsoever.
Fretting. Okay. What is?
Well, it's coupled with what was mentioned earlier about doubts. It's not only overthinking it, but doubting that God has control over it, or that can make it make things correct.
Okay. Yeah. Why pray when you can worry? I pray when you can worry, right? Yep. So worry, isn't it something like thinking about bad? Well, again, it could be. I mean, thinking about bad things that might happen as a kind of worry.
That is
a kind of worry, isn't it? I'm not saying it's all of it, but think about bad things that might happen. I'm worried that.
Okay, but being prepared is.
I'm not talking about that. Yeah. Thinking about bad things that might happen, thinking a lot about them, you know, that's not prudence. We're not talking about prudent preparation here. Okay. What about fantasy?
Fantasy.
Thinking about things that you're thinking about, things that you might wish in your flesh would happen. Desires. How about long-term guilt? Dwelling on things that you've done and being affected by them to an inordinate extent. I have to say something about extent there because we should be guilty about things when we sin. But at some point, you have to confess your sin and realize that you can't atone for your sin by any amount of worry or guilt or penance or whatever it is. Self-pity. What else? Godless planning. And you think to yourself, we're going to go here and do this and do that for the next year and buy and sell and get gain. And James in chapter 4, verses 13 to 17 says that all such planning is sin. And if you know that it's sin, you know, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, it's sin. So let me ask you this. Do you ever worry about anything?
Sure.
So where's your faith? Right. No. I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying each and every one of us have some problems with this area in our lives.
I've seen people with very strong faith and they just turn, I've heard you say, they know God is in control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Would it be valid to say it's not a sin to have one of these thoughts through your mind, but it's a sin to dwell on it?
I don't personally think that, from my understanding of Scripture, that we can say that in a broad brush way. But sometimes that is true. Sometimes that is true. If something comes to your attention, that doesn't mean that you're sinning. I'm talking about you're generating a doubt. You are generating and dwelling upon a lust. You are, inordinately focusing on guilt or some bad thing that might happen or some violent thing. I'm not ready to say that it's... See, the thing is, where do these evil thoughts arise from? I'm going to come to that in just a moment. But not quite yet. You might have a bothersome thought that comes to you incessantly. What does that mean, incessantly, all the time, over and over and over again? Things you've heard, things you've seen, news, things you've read, bad songs. Boy, that's a good one. What about dreams? Dreams that have any of these kinds of elements in them? Lusts, fears. In that case, the dream is generated by thoughts that aren't good. But what about dreams just in isolation from that? Could they be considered bad thoughts? Yeah. It's okay. So, violent thoughts, which are perhaps incited by things you see, movies, violence against others, violence against yourself, violence by yourself, on yourself. You think about all those categories? Wrangling. Yeah, so that would be that. What you're saying there is thoughts of vengeance or revenge. Let me just say, in kind of summary here, you might have some concern about this, but I want to just say it this way: any of these kind of, as I'm thinking of these things, bad thoughts, things that don't just come to your attention merely, but that are things that you dwell on. Whether it's anger, to vengeance, to hatred, to doubts, to guilt, to self-pity, to incessant repeated thoughts about different things, and all of that. Bad thoughts are sins and expressions of our sin nature. They are not merely mistakes. This is why I said at the beginning, recognizing that you have sinful thoughts is a mark of recognizing that you have them and that you struggle against them, I should say, is a mark of some level of spiritual life and concern. And if you don't recognize that you have these things and you don't recognize that they are a problem, then you have a problem. A lot of sanctification is a battle in the mind. I hope you would recognize that. These things are not mere mistakes. Not just that we can chalk them up to being human. You know, we think it, and therefore we are responsible for it. That means dreams as well. If there's a dream, if there's a sin in your dream that you're thinking about, that sin is accountable, is accounted to somebody. Now, you might look around and try to find your neighbor to say, to blame it on. But there's nobody left besides yourself. By process of elimination, you're the only one who is accountable for this sin. Unless you think somebody attaches electrical probes to your head at night without you knowing and they induce this dream in your head. You don't think that, do you? So, this is a problem. This is to say that there are a lot more sins than just the things we can see. You know, we can't just simply say, oh, I'm human and that's just how I am. And that's, don't accept that. If you would be like Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's why we need Christ, because we can't be perfect. But he does want to influence our thinking. What are the origin of our bad thoughts? Well, we have to go back to the axis of evil, okay? The axis of evil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? First of all, and most importantly, I want to say this. Without the world and without the devil, we'd still have problems. And that's because it comes from our own flesh. Jesus says so in Matthew 15:19. When he says these words, Matthew 15 and verse number 19, remember the Pharisees are concerned about the disciples eating with unwashed hands. In Matthew 15:19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." sinful thoughts always have to touch, they touch our sinful aspect, our sinful nature, no matter where they come from. They can come from outside. They can be induced by events and things from outside, but they ultimately come from inside. And so it's the heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Some thoughts are not cannot be blamed on the world or the devil. They are simply generated by our sinful nature, so that the problem is from within. Jesus, notice, does not blame external factors here. He blames internal factors. The heart of man is this wicked thing. But then you do have the world as an originator of bad thoughts and a helper in that regard, if you will, or an unhelper. The people, the philosophies, the activities of this age attempt to do what to our minds? Romans 12, verse 2. They attempt to conform our minds to their philosophy, their activities, their thoughts, their idols. People elevate themselves or things or entertainment, or they use bad words and bad jokes and do bad things, and they produce bad entertainment and teach false doctrine through the media. And all of that stuff is going, as much as you're allowing it, is going in. Then you have the devil. He gets too much credit for the bad that goes on in this world, yet there is a case in Scripture where he did put an evil thought directly into the heart and mind of a person. John chapter 13 and verse number 2, supper being ended and the devil having put into Judas's heart to betray Jesus. And of course we know later in chapter 13 where we looked at actually that Satan entered into him and he went out and did his thing. But not only this, I don't know if you ever thought of this, the devil not only, and this is not an often thing, okay? It's not something that happens frequently, so you don't have to worry about every bad thought that comes into your mind, the devil made me do it. No, that, remember, comes from the heart. That's the main center that drives our thinking. But in Luke 8:12, it says something very interesting there. This is the parable of the sower and the soils. And the first one, the seed goes on the wayside and the birds ate it up. Well, what did that picture? It says that it represents the explanation of that parable. It represents the devil coming and taking away the word from their heart. So he's not only adding a thought in Judas, he's taking something away. He's doing something to distract, to erase, to get the unbeliever not to think about the truth of the gospel. That's awful, isn't it? That is really bad. Let me just read that so you can cement that in your mind. This is what you're up against as you minister the gospel. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Well, their heart is the seat of being and thinking. He takes it away. He blinds their mind. Remember 2 Corinthians? What does that mean? But that he does something with their thinking processes. Of course, there are other cases like this. There's the serpent in the Garden of Eden. What did he do to Eve? He put some little thoughts in there, didn't he? Yeah. Initiating some bad thoughts. He tried to do similarly with Jesus in the wilderness, didn't he? Fall down and worship me and do this and do, you know, command the stone to become bread and all this. Throw yourself down. God's going to take care of you. He's putting in there thoughts of self-centered nature, thoughts of pride, thoughts of power. Now, a tempting thought may present itself to your mind. This comes because of our general sinful nature, but then we are responsible to decide what we do with that thought. Yes, John? Ah, that's good. So the question John asks is, how is turning the stone into bread a sin? And what did the Lord respond? That will give us a clue as to why. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So it was a temptation, John, in his case, to supply his need apart from trusting in the Father, and in God the Father and God's will. Okay? Very briefly stated. Good question. I can try to explain that in more length another time. Very good question. Okay, so let's just stipulate this then as we kind of bring this to a close. Every bad thought that you have, you are somehow responsible to deal with. Okay? Let me try to say that. So, we've talked about accountability. Who's to blame for that? But then the issue is, what do I do with it? What do I do about it? Well, if it's one of these things that something has come to your attention, or something has flitted across your mind, that's a problem in itself. If you were a perfect person, no bad thing would ever present itself to you in a negative way. Now, obviously, God is perfect, and He sees all the evil that goes on down in this earth, and it's not a tempting thing or a sinful thing that He knows about that or sees that. But it's a different thing for us because we're sinners. But as soon as that thought comes, if you allow it to process and you desire it or want it or let it, you know, ruminate or whatever, you've got to do something about it. So when it's actually easier to deal with it the sooner you catch it. Piper said this way, not that I, you know, recommend all his stuff, but he said, you have 5 seconds to kill it. 5 seconds to kill it. Now, he's not saying that, you know, he's found a Bible verse where it says 5 seconds. He's just saying, you have to handle this quickly and don't be dwelling upon it. But you're responsible. I can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to discipline your mind to stop, to say no to yourself. These are some solutions we'll come to next time about this. But you are responsible to decide what to do with that thought. If you start to roll it over in your mind, then it becomes fully yours and sin is conceiving. James chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. Remember about sin being conceived? And when it's conceived, it brings forth death? Yeah. Notice there too in James chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. The origin that James assigns for these thoughts. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desires and enticed. It is your own evil desires that entice you. So those are some of the origins of bad thoughts. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh being primary among them. Well, what about the origin of good thoughts? Let's end on a positive note here, okay? The origin of good thoughts. Well, first of all, our redeemed nature. Not our, it's opposite of sinful nature. This is our redeemed nature. The origin of good thoughts. Our redeemed nature. The believer has a new nature, and it should be more and more and more active so that our minds more and more dwell on good things. And our sin nature is less and less active. Secondly, where can you get good thoughts from? Where can good thoughts, obviously internally again is the main driver, but you can get and are influenced by your church and your Christian friends. Yeah. And then I have my third one is God. Okay? So not the sinful nature, the redeemed nature. Not the world, the church. Not the devil, God. That's what we're talking about. If you expose yourself to the church, or do you expose yourself to the politics? Okay, or you expose yourself to the sinful entertainment or whatever. Now, sometimes God, you know, used dreams, back to that topic, to induce thoughts and plans in His people. and those who were not yet numbered among his people. For example, Joseph had dreams. God communicated through those. Nebuchadnezzar did. God communicated through those. Daniel did. God communicated through those. And so on. Today, the means that God uses to communicate to us are more commonplace and unexciting. God uses providence instead of the miraculous to impart wisdom and knowledge. Does that make sense? He doesn't come down and, you know, speak to you in an audible voice. He uses providence, guides you with His Word. He guides you with the circumstances surrounding you, with the people that He brings across your path. The Spirit of God can work in us to influence our thinking. Obviously, the fruit of the Spirit also has something to do with our thoughts. I mean, if you think of the fruit of the Spirit, what are they, Lydia? Do you know? Yeah. See, Mike, you know I can go to Lydia to get some of these verses because I know she has them memorized. I pick on her once in a while to make sure she hasn't forgotten. Okay, so all of those things, if you think about it, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, where does all that start? It's how you think. So that God working in you is and how you think. This is the fruit that is resulting from the work of the Spirit in your life. So again, this is the battle here is a battle for the mind. And God wants to work in you in that. But I think we need to recognize it first. Just kind of think about the kinds of things we are thinking about and dwelling upon. And then hopefully this doesn't bother you too much now to stop and think about this a little bit more in detail. But it's important for us. And next time I want to talk about what can we do about these things. For now, we can just say let's try to emphasize the origin of good thoughts. The Scriptures and prayer and God and His Spirit and the church and our Christian friends as opposed to the world and the devil and the flesh. Okay? Minimize those. Put those away. Fill up with us some other things and, you know, it'll be better for you. It's like if you eat a big dinner with good food in it, you won't be tempted by so much junk dessert at the end, right? Yeah, because you have filled up on the good things and the bad things will not be so interesting to you anymore. So, all right. Well, think about that and I'll take those prayer lists back. Let's pray as we close, please. Father, we ask that you will watch over us this evening and bless us in our thinking. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to look at this matter. Lord, help us as John was asking us to recognize that our supply should not come from ourselves, but we should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in God the Father for that, and not by other means, by our own self-appointed means, to try to make our needs be met. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's a bit of a rough draft on that, actually, I had been presented with that question, have been thinking about it some weeks now. So I wrote to an organization called the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation or something like that, CCEF, perhaps you've heard of it, and asked them, do you have a resource on this topic? And they... because I saw several resources, particularly like one about worry and one about anxiety or something like that, you know, common ones, but nothing on this idea in general, which I thought, wow, that's something we need, a gap we need to fill. And I'm probably not going to be the one to fill that gap as far as a book or a booklet, but we should spend our share of time on it because it's something that we deal with all the time, so... Carry our brains with us. Wherever you go, you're going to bring your main problem with you. That's yourself. Right. That's that. Now, response is the word responsibility that I was using before. How are you responding to this? If you're, you know, keep doing your thing and you recognize these things and you say, more sin. You know. Yeah, yeah.
The description was absolutely.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I mean the reality is we live in a sin cursed world, and everywhere there's bad things. But, like I say, for every one of those things, you're responsible for how you respond to it, and you can't control what's going on out there. You can control some of how much you see of it, whether you go out of your way to look at it, what you do with it in your mind, and all of those things. But you can even apart from all that, you can just be sitting in your room with four walls with nothing on them and a white painted ceiling and carpet on the floor, and you're sitting in a chair and you have thoughts with you. You have thoughts. What do you do with those thoughts? You know? Just you, yourself, and I. I mean you. that's what we're talking about. All right. I can take those. Ben, you have an addition. It is a reminder. We are lowly people, and we need help. We need help.